Francis versus Robert Kanani. Kanani?
Kanani.
Kanani. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. Reese Sterling representing Robert Kanani. 2 minutes or whatever time I have remaining, I would appreciate. Thank you. In a nutshell, the concrete services default judgment against Mr. Kanani was satisfied at before the time that it was assigned, and therefore rendering the assignment a nullity. Accordingly, or as a result of that, satisfaction of judgment should have been required as a matter of law, and the liens against his property released. The other thing in a nutshell is the timing of a CR 60B6 motion for relief. We're not asking to vacate the default judgment, only relief from it in form of satisfaction.
If the trial judge were to have asked the question, why did Tycor Title pay $10,000 to Concrete Services, would that have been a factual question, or would that have been an absolutely irrelevant question as you analyze this case?
Analysis of the facts, it's probably a mixed question of fact and law. I think, however, it's a matter of law.
This will work better if when I talk, you don't talk.
Sure.
If the question is, why did someone do something, how is that anything but a factual question? How does that a mixed question of anything?
Because it goes to the underlying effect of that payment.
No, facts after they're found go to legal conclusions. But my question is, the question, if the judge were to have asked, why did Tycor pay $10,000 to Concrete, wouldn't that be just simply a pure factual question?
Well, that is a factual question as far as what they
and
say.
And wasn't that question decided against your client?
That's what the trial court, but we hold, Your Honor.
I don't see anything in your briefing where you try and address the standard of review for factual questions. It seems to me that the standard review is pretty well known, whether there's substantial evidence that supports the trial court's finding of fact on a factual question. So your position today is there is no substantial evidence from which the trial court could have found that the reason Tycor paid $10,000 to Concrete Services was to obtain an assignment of the judgment.
That's correct, Judge Dwyer. And the reason being is that the payment was clearly made as part of a settlement, and that has to do with Tycor.
Well,
titles.
That isn't what the. That's
part of the record.
Now you're arguing something that's separate from the factual finding. The factual finding was that they paid $10,000 to obtain an assignment.
And that factual
you can
finding
bring a motion to change your pleadings, but you can't bring a motion to change the facts. And the facts as found by the trial judge was that it was done for the purpose of obtaining an assignment. Aren't you reduced to arguing that there's nothing in the record that supports that finding?
There's not substantial competent evidence in the record that supports that finding. That's correct, Your Honor. That is an erroneous finding, and the law is erroneously applied and misapplied to that finding. The finding of fact that the trial court made is wrong. The reason being, and very succinctly, Your Honor, is just simply ask yourselves the question, could Concrete Services, after it received that $10,000 payment, proceed to obtain a judgment against any of the other defendants against which it had already obtained default orders? Could it have obtained, after receiving the $10,000 payment,
Are you asking me whether after someone assigns a judgment to someone else that the first party could then continue to enforce it?
After the first
Is that
party,
what you're asking?
No. After the first party has been paid on its underlying claim, which supports and is the grounds for the judgment.
You're phrasing the question without resort to the facts as found. But the facts as found is they did not receive $10,000 for that purpose. They found they received $10,000 to assign it. Now, obviously, after someone assigns away, sells something they have, they no longer can avail themselves of it. But I guess part of what I'm struggling with here is there's a request in the request for attorney's fees. Mm-hmm. There's a request that that a fee award be made against your client based on the reasons that it was made in the trial court, but there's also a request that it be made against your client and you jointly on appeal based on an asserted frivolous nature of the appeal. And I'm trying to find out whether I believe that this falls within that category of frivolous claim that we actually would impose the liability on the client, on the attorney rather than just on the client. So I'm trying to get an idea as to where your arguments tether with regard to the findings that were actually made by the trial judge and the evidence that's actually in the case.
What we're saying, Your Honor, Judge Dwyer, is very simply this, is that the findings that the trial court made are not supported by the substantial competent evidence. The findings that were made, that the payment that was made by Concrete Services was only for the assignment, cannot be true. It's not a true finding. It's not fact. And that simply goes to the one satisfaction rule. Because had Concrete Services attempted to reduce its default orders against other defendants to judgment, because it didn't get money paid on its claim, it simply assigned the judgment that it had at that time for the $10,000, didn't have anything whatsoever to do with its underlying contract claim, then it can't do that because of the one satisfaction. It's already been satisfied. It's already been paid. The judgment was satisfied. That's what our position is. It goes to the law of payment, of judgments, and of satisfaction. When, and it goes to Strong Memorial, and it goes to the Charles Young cases, Your Honor. I would imagine that those same arguments were made in those cases. Oh, well, in Strong, the judgment creditor got a payment from this garnishment action. In Young, it was from another ancillary type of action, but they all went back to the central claim of the judgment creditor. That claim was
paid. I just want to be clear. The non-frivolous nature of your claim lies in the court looking at the record and determining that there is, in fact, nothing in the record to support the trial court's factual finding that the purpose of the payment was to obtain an assignment. If we were not to find that, then the claim would indeed be frivolous under Rule 18.9. Is that what you've told me?
Well,
I tried to give you a full opportunity to categorize it for me.
Your Honor, I think our brief is really complete, and basically it goes to the findings, in particular findings number 8 and number 10 and conclusions number 2 and number 6, under which the trial court, you know, based upon the evidence and based upon the fact that the payment received, in fact and in law, paid off the claim before the assignment was made. There's nothing frivolous about that. It's well established in law that if the underlying claim has been paid that supports the judgment before the judgment is assigned, the assignment is a nullity. That's the law. The facts, the only thing the facts really support is that at the time of the assignment of the judgment, it had already been paid and satisfied. There's
That's
nothing
the
frivolous
only
about that.
Thing that the evidence supports as a factual finding.
But we're claiming that it was an abuse of discretion, that the factual findings are not supported by the substantial competent evidence.
I understand that. I was trying to drill a little deeper, and I would never want to be accused of ambushing anybody, so I just felt I'd lay it out.
Well, all I want to say also, Your Honor, very, very succinctly, is that our briefs, our main brief and our reply brief, really get into the factual findings, the payment of the judgment before its assignment. Those are all integrally related and go to our whole tenet that payment by check is effective and complete upon at the time of its receipt. At the time of its receipt, the assignment was not made. And those are clear facts in the record. And well, our contention is, Your Honor, and I know I'm running out of time, and that's fine, but our contention, very, very respectfully, is that the findings are in error, not only based upon the lack of substantial competent evidence to really support them. There's no clear evidence that this was only intended to purchase the assignment. That's not the case at all. Take a look at Strong. Take a look at Young. And I think this one has a much clearer nexus to the fact that the judgment was satisfied before its assignment and therefore was a nullity, and therefore we're entitled to satisfaction of judgment and release of the liens. That's all we're asking for. Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court, my name is Mark Lean. I'm here today on behalf of the respondent, Ovidio Escamilla. Your Honors, to paraphrase Shakespeare's Hamlet, Mr. Kanani and the attorney, Mr. Sterling, doth protest too much, methinks. I think Judge Dwyer has put his finger right on the question. What was the intent of the purchase of the assignment? The court found that. There's substantial evidence in the record to uphold that. And there's law to support that. Mr. Escamilla, in his brief, cites the 47 Amger 2nd 811. When you're dealing with a third-party payment, the intent governs. What do we have of intent here? We have a $10,000 payment for an $11,000 judgment. We have a language of a letter saying you can cash this check once you assign the judgment. And unlike in the Strong case and in the Young case, there's no judgment against Mr. Escamilla. And I think that resolves the case. And this is a case where Mr. Kanani, with the indulgence of his attorney, has taken bite after bite of the apple, has come in before this justice system and said, first, I wasn't served. The court found he lied. He said, appellant's brief says, well, his position was he never really remembered. That's always been his position. But that's not the case. In fact, he said on 10-6 in the report of proceedings at page 5, lines 1 through 2, court, okay, so you, excuse me, I read the wrong one. That was the concession of service. He was asked.
Let me.
Yes.
I think we all understand the round one of the dispute.
Yes.
And that it ended in a finding of that he lied. With regard to round two, the assignment versus satisfaction, I pose the question to opposing counsel as to whether there was any evidence in the record to support the finding of fact. You've come up here and averred that the finding of fact was properly made as to the intent of the payment. What is the evidence in the record that supported that finding?
Certainly. There was a $10,000 payment made for an $11,000 judgment, so it wasn't payment of the entire judgment. Mr. Escamilla didn't have a judgment against him, so he wasn't a joint payer, and that distinguishes these other cases. And so you have an answer from Mr. Escamilla where he denied liability. And you have a language of a letter from the attorney for Mr. Escamilla to Concrete Services saying this is for an assignment. And in light of that evidence, the court said, yeah, this is an assignment. And in light of the law that says that you look to intent, this was an assignment. Otherwise, you'd have to take the point of view that Mr. Escamilla wanted, in fact, to pay off a judgment which was not against him and then bring a completely separate claim and spend a lot of his own money going at, or a lot of, in this case, the title company's money, going after Mr. Kanani. Why would he want to do that? Concrete Services probably didn't care all that much, but in order to cash the check, it had to do an assignment. And to address, I think, the legal issue, I think that Mr. Sterling may be trying to make the argument there's some sort of factual presumption that the check came first. Well, RCW 62A 310B says, unless otherwise agreed. You had a letter that set the terms. You will give us an assignment. You will get $10,000. It was agreed to by performance. Signature, mailing, cashing the check. And the issue that is also missed is the check, if received, even if I assumed that this presumption applied, it would be for the particular obligation. What was the obligation being paid? The agreement for the assignment. I will give you $10,000 for an assignment. You know, unless we want to go, in fact, there's no evidence really in the record that this was anything other than an assignment. There's no evidence of some sort of language between an objective statement between Mr. Escamilla and Mr. Canani's attorney, or excuse me, and Concrete Services or their attorney saying, here, let's do a backroom deal where we're actually paying off the judgment. There's nothing in the record. And that would be, as Your Honor points out, the obligation of counsel for Canani to show. And so this is a situation where time after time, frivolous claims, frivolous factual claims, frivolous legal claims were raised. And maybe the first round, yes, an attorney should, if their client says, I didn't remember this, maybe they're bound to follow that. But to appeal the case when you have a factual finding against you and there's no evidence in the record of anything other than an assignment, I mean, I'm reminded of Admiral Stockdale during the vice presidential debate. Why am I here? Why are you here? This is taking up this court's valuable time. And so if there aren't any other questions, I'll just end with, the attorney protests too much, methinks. Thank you.
You didn't have any time left. Well, you did. You had 19 seconds.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, take a close look at the May 19 letter that was referenced and also the letter from Tycor Title transmitting the $10,000 check. There's nowhere saying that this is for an assignment. It's a settlement check. It's compromise and settlement of the claim, and therefore the what we're dealing with really are findings of the trial court not supported by the substantial competent evidence. There's nowhere that says that this was for an assignment only. It was for a claim that was settled, and that claim basically was supported the judgment that was paid and satisfied before it was assigned. Your Honor, it all goes together, and there's nothing frivolous about it. Thank you, Your Honors. Thank you.